started connecting all the dots of things I had never even dreamed of before and thought of. But what it really revealed to me was that the foundation of my organic, all-natural farming operation was all rooted next door in those 200-year-old hedgerows. And meaning the beneficial insects, the pollinators, the birds, the everything, that's all part of the chain. And the native flora, and just all who lived over there. And I mean, when I say that tens of thousands of creatures lost their lives over there when all that development happened was significant enough. But I even saw it more far reaching as to how am I going to be able to continue doing what I'm doing the way I'm doing it, which has basically been 100% chemical free for over 15 years, I think. And that all really started over there. The other thing that's a part of that is understanding native plants. And so I never had a very much of an understanding of what a native plant was. I mean, even as a farmer, it's like, I thought, oh, native plants, those must grow easier or be not need quite as much care because they naturally grow here, right? But y'all, it is so much deeper and wider than that. Native plants, as one example, native plants support native insects. Native insects support our native birds. And when you don't have native plants with native insects, you start losing specific species of birds. And that is just one little example. And I want to share an example of a plant of a native versus a non-native. We all are very familiar with the crepe myrtle and we all love them. I have some. I know probably most everybody here has one in their yard. But what I did not know is crepe myrtles are not natives. Beyond being a tree that a bird can land on and the blooms perhaps probably have some nectar or pollen in them, that's all they pretty much do for the environment besides making it look pretty, versus an oak tree. One oak tree supports over 500 different species of native insects. So it's a huge contributor. It's actually the most important tree you can actually plant. So that's just one little example. And as global gardening came on the scene, and this happened, I mean, back in the early 1900s, at least probably even further back then, insect and plant shuffling globally started happening. And that's kind of how we got the friend we are all experiencing now, the Japanese beetle. He is one of millions of examples of how something came from its homeland where it had a native predator to help control it, comes to a place here that has no predators, no natural predators. And that's why they ravage us, because there's nobody out there tracking them as much as they would if they were home in their native land. And as we have fewer and fewer native plantings, like all we lost at Oliver's, there's nothing to invite and sustain the 98% of the million insects in this world are beneficial to somebody somewhere in God's system. And there's nowhere for them to live as we fill our landscapes with more and more non-natives. And we all do it. Because when we don't have those beneficial insects, there's no predators of even our native pests. And oftentimes our solutions to these problems that we experience intensify the initial problem. And all of this comes from us breaking the chain of creation, of the natural ways that God made the world to actually work. But on the other hand, the hope, what we should focus on is embracing nature, God's creation, and give it a hand instead of trying to take the lead. And because when his system works, for the most part, it is quite self-sufficient. I'm really a really good example of that here on our farm. We have to really resist the urge to be better, quicker, faster, get our own way. And we just simply need to mimic the system that's been given to us in creation. So I truly believe that growing my business was a really natural progress because I've cultivated what God had already planted in people. You know, we all have, I mean, if we see, you see everywhere, get outside, walk, get rid of your stress. Nature just does things to us. And the business that I have created and made my work has just really cultivated that naturally. My business life has really grown in some really unexpected ways. And each of these steps has really deepened my faith. And I feel like I live it every day and it's reaffirmed and I'm constantly being reminded and shown, which I don't know about y'all, but I need to constantly be reminded. I mean, every single day, the pursuit of becoming an entrepreneur has led me to become kind of, I guess you would call, an expert in all natural cut flower farming. And that's what I have built my business on. Never, ever in a million years would I have imagined that I, a severely dyslexic, learning disabled city dweller, would become a flower farmer, a teacher, an author, a publisher of online courses, and the owner of a successful business. But I feel like that has all occurred because I have just cultivated what God has planted in each one of us. And I love the way that last week Ursula kind of gave us a little overview of what she does. And I feel like the series that they've asked us to do of this intersect of our work and our faith just helps us to get a look into each other's lives. And so I just wanted to tell you kind of what my day-to-day business life is kind of like. So I own it. We have an online garden shop and a learning center in a nutshell. That's kind of where everything is housed on our website. I do have now, we used to do a lot of all this business out of this building on my farm, but we now have a warehouse that is located up in the Edwards Industrial Park that homes our warehouse and our business offices. I have a staff of 14 that work together to develop our product line, education offerings, do business from day to day, to help with our book creation, podcast, blogs. There's just a lot of working, moving parts in all of this because people are so eager to learn more about gardening. I believe that we're all so drawn naturally to garden and then to farm if we want to make it our career, that it's just a very spectacular thing. So today, our production cut flower garden that started back in 1998 has really evolved. Back in all those years of high production, we had an acre and a half in full production that produced up to 10 to 15,000 stems of flowers a week in season, which was about 5 months out of the year. We sold to 23 florists, 2 supermarket chains, and 2 on-farm programs, as well as we did farmers markets for 14 years. And we grew our flowers to support all of that effort. And what I do now, those other things I just listed, have all kind of grown out of that. And so this year is really kind of special for us, because this is our farewell season of selling flowers. We're still growing flowers, but we're not selling them. We're continuing to support all the other areas of our business with our garden. I mean, that's where all of our education is filmed and photography and all of that. And so it's really gone full circle. I think now where we've reached in my business and in my faith and in my daily walk is what most people think a flower farm is about. But in fact, a full-fledged high production flower farm is really pretty crazy, pretty hot, pretty dirty all the time. And now I have a much smaller garden, much more manicured, and it's really a great spot to be. And I just hope that this inspires you to not just look at a garden, but to sit and notice and watch what's going on out there. From, I mean, the bird action is pretty obvious, but it's sitting near blooming flowers and watching the insect action. Y'all, there's a really good reason why they make movies about insects. I mean, you wouldn't believe the wars, the battles going on out there right now that are being fought between species, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And it just reaffirms that God is great and his creation is amazing. And I know I can count on it. It just strengthens my faith. And I just always keep in my mind to remember that it all started in a garden, you know, and here we are. Thanks.